And what was hilarious is I found out through actually visiting people's homes that we have very similar systems for managing money. It's called a bowl in the kitchen, or it's a spot by the desk where all the bills get dumped. And then once a month, we scramble through them, and then we don't know where to stick the statements, and we put them everywhere, and it creates enormous stress and confusion.
That was one of America's most trusted financial experts, David Bach. And this is Best Breakouts from the Conferences for Women, an audio series that offers timeless insights from our archives to help you advance at work and in life. In this session, Smart Women Finish Rich, David Bach shares concrete steps to help you live rich and finish rich. We hope you enjoy it.
It's so good to have you here. I can't even tell you. Real quick background before I start into this incredible presentation. First of all, look at this room for a second. Smart Women Finish Rich. Do you feel it? Yes. Wow. You know, congratulations on being here. And thank you for letting me come. Because if you look around, you'll notice there aren't a lot of men here. So I really want to thank the governor for bringing us in. I'm really, really grateful to be here. This is my last presentation of the year. Smart Women Finish Rich started all the way back in 1994, which means I started it when I was 2. I wish. But I want to tell you a little bit about how it started, because I think it's important to hear this. I know many of you are here today because you have dreams that are bigger than the life you are living right now. And I just want you to hear the story of how this started, because a lot of times when you have a dream, people tell you that the dream won't work, and they don't know what you can do. And that is really important to hear, because in 1994, the reason I created this workshop is that I sat down with my mom and we were having lunch, and I had just basically graduated from college. I had been out of school 2 years. I had come into the investment business with my father. I had trained at Morgan Stanley, and I went to lunch with my mom, and my mom, who is one of the most energetic, beautiful women you will ever meet in your entire life, was with me at lunch, and she was down and she was depressed. And I said to my mom, "What's wrong?" And she said, she started telling me about her friend Kim. And I said, "What's wrong with Kim?" And she said, "Kim's going through a divorce and she's about to lose everything." And as we started talking about my friend's mom, and I knew this woman really closely because I was friends with her kids, I said, "Well, I don't understand. Her husband's a doctor. They have tons of money." And she said, "Well, they've been married for, at the time it was like 25 years. She said she signed some documents that allowed them to refinance the home. The husband pulled the money out. He had an affair and they're going through a divorce and it's all gone. And she's having to move to a small apartment and she's going to have to go back to work. And she hasn't worked for 25 years. She's going to have to start all over." And as we talked about this through lunch, we started talking about a lot of our friends. I grew up in an area called Moraga, California, nice little middle-class suburb. And when I went to school, everyone I knew's parents were married. It was like the perfect little community. Everybody had 2 kids or 3 kids, and you had a white picket fence, and you had a dog, and everybody's married. And then one by one, as we started coming home for college vacation, more parents were getting divorced. And more of the moms were having to start over from scratch. And so I asked my dad, who was a financial advisor, I said, "What's going on here that all these women that we know that we grew up with are starting over from scratch and don't have any money and are having to do it all over again in their 50s? And my dad, who had spent at the time almost 30 years being a financial advisor, he said to me, "David, I will tell you one thing, and is this, if you don't know how much money there is," he goes, "money's a pie. And if you don't know how much is in the pie, when it comes time to split it up, you don't get half." I don't always tell this story, but I felt like I would tell the story today. And so I went back to lunch with my mom another day and I said, "Mom, do you know what's going on with the family's money?" And my mom goes, "Yeah, your father's managing it." And I go, "Mom, but if anything happens to Dad, you're going to need to do this." And she goes, "No, I won't, because you're a financial advisor now, so you could take care of it." I'm like, "Mom, that's not the point. Dad told me that you got to know what's going on with the money." I go, "Like, Grandma," and I'll talk about my grandmother later. I go, "Grandma Bach, she managed all the money for the family. That's why we are as wealthy as we are today. My grandmother started a legacy of financial planning before anyone was doing this, especially women." And she changed the destiny of our family. I'm like, Mom, you can be like Grandma Bach. And she's like, no, I can't. I don't know this stuff. So I said, you know what? I'm going to teach a class for women and money. And you're going to come, Mom. I'll teach it in Lafayette. I taught at the Lafayette Park Hotel. And I want you to come and you bring some of your friends. So I went back to the office, totally excited. I had this dream. I'm going to teach a class for women and money. And I walked back into my office. I was working at Morgan Stanley. And I started telling everybody, I'm going to teach a class for women and money. And everybody told me it was a dumb idea. Swear to God, including the manager who said, David, there's no money in women and money. Right? Wrong. So fortunately, all these people who told me it was a bad idea happened to be men and they were over the age of 50, which was funnier when I was younger. But I went back to my dad's office and I said, you know what? I'm going to try this. And my dad, thanks to my father, he said, you know what? Go for it. Try it. What do you got to lose? I love that about my father. He always says, what do you got to lose? So I sent an invitation out to our women clients. 200 women wanted to come to the first workshop. We only had room for 100 women in the workshop. So I taught that first workshop, put my mom in the front row. She brought her friend. She's taking notes. She's like, that's my son. I'm like, Mom, are you getting this? And that first workshop after it was over, everybody came up to me and was like, well, when are you teaching this again? And literally, I'm like, I had no plans to teach it again, but I got asked and I started teaching it again and again and again and again. It's literally how it took off. And then people are like, you got to put this in a book so I can give it to my friends. So I went out to the publishers and I'm like, I'm going to write a book for women and money. And the publishers looked at me like, you're out of your mind. Women aren't going to buy a book for women and money. I said, that doesn't make any sense. They buy 90% of all books. This is before that sex book came out recently. So I said, I think this will work. And the long story short is that it has worked. And what I'm about to share with you today is almost verbatim what I started teaching in 1994. I have been teaching it for 19 years. All over the United States, all over Canada, around the world, over a million women have gone through it. So thank you for the privilege of being here today to teach it again. Some of you, if you've heard these messages, what you're going to realize is that these messages, the reason I don't have to change these steps, I've got 7 steps today. The reason I don't have to change them is that they're timeless. Things change, taxes change, politics change, but the principles are timeless. Here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to go through how to live rich and how to finish rich. That's the goal for today. I have 7 steps. With those 7 steps, I'm going to go through the good news for women and money, the not so good news, and then those 7 steps to living and finishing rich. So let's start with the good news. And the amazing thing about women and money is that the good news just keeps increasing. So let's look at the good news. First of all, you are the entrepreneurs of America today. When you want to talk about job growth, and nobody did this with the presidential politics that we just had, but what someone should have done is look out to the camera and just said, if we can get more women starting businesses today, we can get this economy going. Because it is you who's starting the economy today. Yeah, you can give yourself a round of applause. Women-owned businesses earned over $1.2 trillion. You employ over 7.6 million workers. You are graduating from college faster today than men at a rate over 50%. Article yesterday in the Wall Street Journal. And it's important to start with the good news because what you want to become ultimately is a magnet for the positive news about women and money. Because if you're looking for the positive news, my friends, you will see it every day. Everywhere you go, you will notice it. If you are looking for the negative news, there are people who will constantly get up and say, women make less money than men. If that's where your mindset is, you will find those articles. If you believe in your economic power and clout, you will see what is happening. Yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, the article talked about the fact that 1 out of 3 lawyers and doctors today are women. When I started this program, it was 1 in 10. That is a radical shift. You earned over $3.2 trillion in 2010. The numbers aren't out for 2011. You consistently outperform men investors year over year. Now, why is that? Why is it if you take women investors and men investors, women do better than men? The number one reason you outperform men investors is that you trade less. You buy investments and you hold them. You trade less. So when you look at the statistics on people who day trade or actively trade their accounts, men trade significantly more than women. And by the way, 9 years as a financial advisor, not once did a woman ever come up to me, and most of my clients were women, but not once did a woman come up to me and say, David, I got this great stock tip on the golf course. I want you to buy this. Never happened. So you do your research, you invest, and you hold your investments longer. I recently met with a brokerage firm that wanted to sponsor me, and I won't say who it was, but they wanted to sponsor me and they wanted to create a Women in Money initiative. And I was excited to do this until I asked them, what's your goal? And what they told me their goal was to educate their women clients so they could get them to trade more often. And I said, but we know for a fact, if you do that, they'll lose money. They said, but our business is actively trading. We didn't do that partnership. What's the not so good news? Okay, this is really important here. There's so much marketing now to women and money. When I started in this, nobody was doing it. But the women and money marketing, this idea that women need pink brochures and pink investments and men need blue. And there's all this different psychology about women and money versus men and money. It's nonsense. Okay, that's what I believe. It's nonsense. Here's the truth. This is what makes you different than men when it comes to money. Number one, you live 8 years longer. Now, the truth is that, ladies, you don't die anymore. Okay? You're going to live forever. My grandmother was drinking green juice. She outlived my grandfather by 15 years. Drinking green juice, hiking 5 miles a day, lived in Leisure World. When she passed away at her funeral, turned out my grandmother was dating 3 men, 3 nights a week. They didn't know about each other and we didn't know about them. Like, yeah, go grandma. It's amazing. I have 2 grandmothers, both named Rose. My grandmother Rose Bach, who the book Smart Women is dedicated to, she passed away at 86. She outlived my grandfather by over 15 years. She managed money well. She had no economic worries. My 2nd grandmother outlived 2 men, no divorce or anything, just got married and outlived the 1st one. He died in his 50s. And the 2nd marriage was 25 years and he died and she passed away at 96. She just passed away. 96. She actually did outlive her money. And fortunately, our family was able to step in and help her. But that's the truth. You're going to live a lot longer. And many of you are going to live to be well over 100. So the financial plan that you have is critical. And it must last 20 to 25 years longer than we believed 20 years ago. And here's the truth. If you're married and your financial plan is not great, your husband will never know about it. You will know. Because what will happen is statistically, he'll get sick first. You'll go through money for healthcare costs, nursing costs. Then you'll get squeezed, by the way, because some of you are having to take care of your parents. One of the things you'll notice as your parents get older and the kids have to step in to take care of the mom and dad, one of the things you'll notice is that who takes care of it? The sister or the brother? The sister. Yeah. So now you get squeezed there. So it's really important to know these things because this is the real world. The average age of widowhood is 56. 1 in 2 women go through the death benefits left by their husband within 2 months. I'm going to go through how to fix that later. You want to talk about how things have changed? Back in 1998, when Smart Women Finish Rich came out, and I was knocking on every single door to do TV shows and radio shows, I did a television show with a national host. I will not say who it was, Pat Robertson. And when I did this statistic, he literally looked at me and he said, David, is that because the women spend so much money? I said, no, it's because there's not enough there. Nobody would say that today. All right, this is finally the biggest kicker. And then we're going to go into the steps. Average length of time out of the workforce for taking care of kids. For women, it's 10 years. For men, it's 2. Now, if you were going to look at the 2 biggest things that women face, it's you live longer and you take an average of 10 years off when you have children. If you have 2 kids and you take extended periods of time off for those kids, which is the hardest job in the world, is to take care of kids. I know because now I have a 9-year-old and one that's turning almost 3. But if you take 10 years off from work, you derail your career. You derail your finances. You don't put money into 401k plans. you're not putting money in Social Security, and you start over again. You have to look at what's real so that you can then come up with a plan to work through it and work around it. All right, so let's start off by going through the steps. Step one is learning to earn. Now, when I look at a day like today, apparently there are 8,000 women here today, which is incredible. This is a day about learning to earn. This is a day about learning to live rich. This is a day that can change the destiny of many of your lives, because you will get information today. And if you take one idea, and that's really the key, because you're going to get bombarded with ideas today. But if you take one idea and use it, it could change your whole life. So the problem with learning to earn is that your learning is never done. The single biggest mistake we make when it comes to money is we do not teach it in school. That is why when you look at what is wrong in this country, I believe financially, the fastest way to improve our economy, meaning us, not what these people talk about on television, but our economy, because the only economy that matters ultimately is yours. It is the only one that you have control over. It doesn't matter who the president is. I just went to the John F. Kennedy Library yesterday, which is incredible, by the way. If you live here and you haven't seen this, you have to go to this library. And there were only six of us there for an hour and a half. It was like I rented it out. It just turned out there was nobody there. So I watched these speeches last night. I was mesmerized because you could have just jumped forward to yesterday. It's the same conversation. So the way you fix your economy is you fix it yourself. And it starts by learning to earn. And when I look at why my family is in the position it is today, it's because my grandmother at 30 made a decision that she wanted to be rich. And the reason that was a big deal was that at 30, my grandmother was poor. My grandmother was living paycheck to paycheck. And the way the legend goes is Grandma Bach turned to my grandfather, Jack, and said, "This is not working." Now, when you're a man and you hear this, this is not good. My grandfather said, "What's not working?" And he said, "In case you haven't noticed, we're poor." Now, my grandfather said, as sometimes men do, "I think you're overreacting." She said, "I'm not overreacting. In case you haven't noticed, we live paycheck to paycheck. We rent, we don't own, and we have no money." And he said, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" My grandmother said, "I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know this. The only way we're going to change our life is to do something different." So what she decided at 30, she would start taking classes on investing. She would start finding money mentors. She would save part of her paycheck and she would invest. The way the story turns out is my grandmother became a self-made millionaire. It took her decades, did not happen in days. And she went on to teach the rest of our family. And she never stopped learning. At 86 years old, my grandmother would call me every single day with different ideas she had. Constantly looking, reading the Wall Street Journal, reading the New York Times, watching CNBC. Everything to her was an opportunity. Very important. So learn one thing about money every day. I teach a class over 5 days sometimes. This is 1 hour. This is what you call the cliff notes. This is a shrunk down version of this stuff. You got to learn more. Read books, take classes, learn something every day. Happens to be I've written a couple books that you can get. Get Smart Women Finish Rich. If you've not read that book, Get Smart Women Finish Rich. If you're married, Get Smart Couples Finish Rich. So then I want to take you to step number two. Step number two is putting your money where your values are. So for nearly 20 years, I have taught values first, money second. And that's different because I don't believe that all financial planning just comes down to the math. I think it comes down to the heart. And what I have found is that when you can tie your heart, your values to your financial decisions, you can become unstoppable. And that is the key. So what does this look like? The key is when it comes to money, money can help you do two things. Well, really three. It can help you be, who do you want to be as a person? It can help you do, what do you want to go out and do? And it can help you have. Almost all marketing, trillions of dollars in advertising every single year, is designed to get us to focus on having. What happens is we go out and spend so much money having that then we are often forced to do things we don't want to do, and we never get around to being who we want to be. So I changed it where I get my clients to focus first. Who do you want to be? Let's look at your values. What's most important to you? Let's get that clear. Let's write that down. And then let's design the financial plan around your values. So unfortunately, again, most people do their financial plans around their goals. Women, by the way, are much better at doing financial planning based on values than men. Because when I ask women, what's important about money to you? I often just hear back immediately values. With men, it's like all the stuff they want to buy. So here's what you do. You build a values ladder and you start by asking yourself a question. What's really important about money to you? So I'm going to give you an example. This is a woman named Jessica who came into my office in her 30s, wanted to talk to me at the time about her 401k plan, her mutual funds, and how to get her plan back on track because she felt like she was starting late. And she said, David, I am working so hard. I'm a career woman. I'm in sales. I have very little time for my kids, my husband. Can you help me? I said, Jessica, let's talk about this. What's important about money to you? Jessica said, security. Security is critical. I want to know my family is secure. If anything happens to me, I want to know we have financial security. I said, great. What's important about that? She said, I want to have more freedom. I wrote that down. I said, what's important about that? She said, well, I want to spend more time with my son and my husband. The time her son was like 7 years old, she barely got to see him. Her husband was also working, very stressed, not a lot of time for the family. I said, what is important about spending more time with your son and your husband? She said, well, I really want to feel calmer, happier. I'm rushing around so much. Can any of you relate to that? She said, I don't want to rush so much. I want to have more of a life. I said, what's important about that to you? She's like, I want to be an example to my son. I said, what else is important to you? She said, I want to make a difference. I want to help others. Now, these are her values. Doing this in my office took about 10 minutes, pulling it out of her, getting it down on paper. These are questions you should ask yourself. Because once you do, then you can make new financial decisions. So in her case, we took a look at where she spends money. This is Jessica's checkbook. Jessica was living expensively. So first of all, she's driving a $525 a month leased BMW. She told herself once she hit the goal of making $75,000 a year, her reward would be a car. By the way, that's what marketers want you to think. You're being trained to reward yourself. Once you become more successful, reward yourself. Then the problem is you reward yourself, and I do this too. We all do this. And now you got to go make more money. And now you can reward yourself again, and then you can make more money. And next thing you know, 10, 15, 20 years have gone by and you're like, I don't get it. Why am I not getting ahead? So we're going through expenses. She's got a $525 car, $300 a month in clothes, $350 in restaurants, $100 car phone, $150 laundry service. These were just some of her expenses. I said, okay, let's do what I call beta test. Let's take your expenses and let's put them side by side with your values. So I said, okay, leased car, is it helping you make a difference? Yes or no? She said, no. Clothes, living longer, example to your son. No. Restaurants, not rushing around, happier life. Yes. Car phone, more time with your son and husband. She said, yes. Lets me allow to talk to them when I'm in the car. Laundry service, absolutely not giving up the laundry service. Gives me more freedom. So I tell this to you because the key here is that she went through her expenses and realized some align with her values, which is what will happen with you. And some don't. So then I asked her a question. What needs to change? So here's what she said. I got to get rid of that car. I'm going to trade in the car within 90 days. I'm going to get a used BMW. It's less expensive. I'm going to dine out every other week. Cut my expenses on eating out. I'm going to reduce my new clothing expenditures by 50%. She's like, I can come up with a way to get the same amount of clothes for half the price. Now, why am I showing this to you? Because here's the key. Had I sat with her as the financial advisor and said, okay, Jessica, I just looked at your expenses and now you need to do this, this, and this. Would she have changed? No. Because here's the deal. If you come into my office and you pay me $5,000 to meet with you for an hour and I tell you what to do, do you know what the truth is? We hate being told what to do. Even when we pay for the advice. It doesn't change from when we're kids. We don't like to be told what to do. What works is when we tell ourselves what to do. That's what works. That's why people go, why do people read your books and they actually take action? They're like, you're so good at this. I'm like, this has nothing to do with me. They read the book, you read the book, and you make the decision. Because you can go to a seminar, you can read a book, and then you know what? That person doesn't come back to your house and change anything. You change it. So she made changes. And this takes me to step number three. Step number three is all financial makeovers begin with knowing where the money is. You got to know where the money is. So I learned this the hard way. At Morgan Stanley, when clients would come into my office, they would come in with bags of stuff. Because I'd say, well, I got to know where your money is. Bring me your stuff. And they would literally bring me their stuff in big garbage bags, practically. And so then I started doing these TV shows where I go over and I do money makeovers. And you would think if you're coming in with a camera crew to do a money makeover for national television shows, that people would straighten up. And what was hilarious is I found out through actually visiting people's homes that we have very similar systems for managing money. It's called a bowl in the kitchen, or it's a spot by the desk where all the bills get dumped. And then once a month, we scramble through them, and then we don't know where to stick the statements, and we put them everywhere, and it creates enormous stress and confusion. So I created a tool to help my clients put together 13 file folders. 13 file folders so they could simply organize their money. These are in my book. So, and you can also go to my website, finishrich.com. There's a whole section on how to organize your financial files. Now, this is an old school system, which, by the way, I still like a lot because it's easy. No technology required. 13 file folders, one file drawer. You know where everything is. But I'm going to give you some new school technology. Okay. These are two major platforms that can help you track where all your money goes in seconds. They're not the easiest to set up, but they can be set up in a couple hours. So one website is mint.com. And the other website is Yodlee's website, moneycenter.yodlee.com. I'm not paid by either one of these companies. These are the two companies that I just happen to have done my own research, use both, like both of them. Yodlee, both of them use the same encrypted technology that the banks use. So is it safe? Is it safe as banking is online? So Yodlee was the originator of doing what's called account aggregation. Account aggregation means that they can scrape all your accounts and deliver you the data. Mint.com basically uses the same account aggregation, but they made it a nicer user-friendly site. Either one of these sites, you can put your credit cards, your banking, your mortgage, everything in, and you can track where the money goes and you can see where all your money is. It is like a scale. I always tell people most of us have a scale in our bathroom, but we don't have a money scale. It's like a dashboard, like boom, click, there I am. Here's where the money is. This is my financial net worth. I'm going up or I'm going down. You need to know this. This takes me to step number four. Step number four is doing what I call build your retirement basket. Now, for all intents and purposes, I have taken money and I have separated money into three baskets: retirement, security, and dreams. Money basically goes into one of those three baskets: retirement, security, or dreams. I'm going to go through all three, but right now I'm going to go through retirement. So retirement, you got to build your retirement basket. People go, what is the secret to getting rich? When I went on Oprah the first time with the Automatic Millionaire, she turned to me and she goes, David, you know, it's yellow couches. I'm sitting next to her and she goes, David, Automatic Millionaire is a pretty big promise. Can anybody be an Automatic Millionaire? Now, I want you to think about this for a second. You're sitting next to Oprah. I'm not lying to Oprah. I said, no, not anybody could be an Automatic Millionaire. I go, first of all, you have to want it. Second of all, you have to do something. But if you're willing to do what other self-made millionaires have done, there's a technique that has worked for decades to build real wealth over time. And I can tell you what it is. And I had the unique experience that I had worked with 100 clients that were self-made millionaires on ordinary incomes. That's the key. So here's what it is. It's three words. The three words are, if you want to build financial security and ultimately finish rich, you must pay yourself first. Now think about this for a second. Why would you work 8, 9, 10 hours a day and not put yourself first. But we don't. The average American today is putting about 20 minutes a day of their income away for themselves. So who gets paid first? Let's take a look at this, by the way. You earn a dollar. Who gets paid first? Uncle Sam. This is all going to get worse. This is what it is today, but it's going higher. If you look closely at that dollar bill, what you'll notice is almost half of it's gone. So really, we work from 9 until about 12, 15 for the government, which kind of makes you want to show up at work after lunch. Here's something that's like so much of what I teach is it's really basic stuff, but it's about getting the thinking process. I want you to get this really carefully. The government figured out that people can't budget. The government can't budget. But for them, it doesn't really matter. For us, it does. But the government for years tried to teach Americans to budget. Not through financial education in school like they should have, but through campaigns around saving money. And the reason the government did that is that the government didn't used to get your tax money first, automatically. You used to write your checks and you got the money and then you sent your taxes in. And it wasn't working. Because no matter how much they went out and told people to budget, people don't do it because budgeting sucks. Budgeting is terrible. It's no fun and nobody likes to do it. And here's the interesting thing about budgeting. If you are somebody who likes to budget, there's only two types of people in the world. Those who are born to save and those who are born to spend. And those two people always fall in love. It's not a woman-man thing. If you like to save, you will fall in love with somebody who likes to spend. You went to a party and you thought it was sexual chemistry. No, that was your financial opposite. So the government figured out, we don't have the money. We got to take it from you automatically. And they did. They took it from you automatically. And that's how they started getting taxes. So you have to step in front of the government and you have to save, here's the number, at least 12% of your gross income. 12% of your gross income is 1 hour a day. 1 hour a day of your gross income. That means you get to work at 9, from 9 to 10, that money's got to go right off the top, right into retirement accounts. For men, it's 10%. Why is it more for women than men? Because you live longer. How much money do you need to save? If you could break it down by dollars. So this is going to show an 8% rate of return. At 20, it's only $6.25 to get $1 million by the age of 65. At 30, it's $14.50 a day. At 40, it's $34.75 a day. At 50, it's $95.25 a day. This is why people who are 50, when they look at that slide, they go, I don't like that slide. Doing $10 a day would be better than doing nothing. Whatever you can do is better than doing nothing. If you can't save 12%, start with 1%. Then the next month, go to 2%. Then go to 3%. Do it over 2 years. Do it over 3 years. Just do it and make it automatic. Because it's never too late. I'm going to show you something at 50. $10 a day at 8%, it's $289,000. At $20 a day, it's $578,000. If you're married with your husband and the two of you start at 50, $10 a day can radically change your life. Now, critics will come up and say, oh, but that didn't count the fact that money's going to be worth less. I'd rather have $500,000 that's worth less than have nothing, right? One out of three Americans has got $1,000 in savings. The average baby boomer's got less than $25,000 in savings right now. Anything you leave here and do is going to be better than what you were doing before you got here if it's more. Does this make sense? Okay, so where can you put it? Three primary accounts. You know these probably. 401k plans. If you're in a nonprofit, 403b plans. If you're self-employed, those of you that are self-employed, self-employed pension accounts. Over $50,000 can go into those. I just spoke to a young doctor. She told me how well she's doing. She's got a business that's flourishing. And she's like, I'm not doing well financially. And I asked her a simple question. Do you have a defined benefits plan? She said, no, I have an LLC. I said, I know that's a company structure. I go, but you can have a defined benefits plan that will allow you to put $200,000 a year away tax-free. She looked at me and she's like, my accountant never told me that. You have to know the questions to ask. What are some of the biggest mistakes we see people make? Number one, too many IRA accounts. Don't have a bunch of IRA accounts. You should consolidate all of them into one IRA account, diversify it, and manage it well. Mistake number three, leaving old money in 401k plans. Ladies, You leave your job. You do not leave your money behind in an old 401k plan. Okay. People leave their jobs. They clean out their cubicles. They get a box. They make sure to take the pencil on the back of the desk that they haven't looked at in 10 years. And then they leave their entire life savings at the old company. Insane. You do an IRA rollover and you process it before you leave so that you control the money. That's what you do. Because when you control the money, you control where you invest it and you control the beneficiaries. What's the key to money? Control. All right, where are we going to find this money? Step number 5. People say, David, I love these ideas. They're fantastic, but I don't have the money. But we do. In most cases, we do. People tell me they don't have the money. So I was teaching a class years ago, 1994, one of my first women seminars. And a young woman named Kim said, David, I don't have the money to pay myself first. I can't do this. She's in her 20s and I'm doing the math for her. I'm showing her. You can have $1 million, maybe even $2 million in savings. She's like, I can't save $5 a day. Now she's telling me this. She's sipping on a latte. And I walked up to the blackboard with chalk. That's the stuff that is erasable. And I started going through her expenses. I'm like, okay, what's the latte cost? At the time it was $3.50. She gets a biscotti with $1.50. It's $5. I go, okay, you're not even at work yet. Do you have a break between noon and 12? Or are you getting to eat? She's like, yeah, I get a protein shake. She's go Jamba Juice. Jamba Juice, $3.75. Candy bar, which really was a power bar, $1.75. And she said $10.50. This is 1994. I haven't changed these numbers. Okay, today, you go to Starbucks in Boston or Manhattan, it's $16.75. All right, slight exaggeration. But you're not getting in and out of Starbucks for less than $5, true? You're easily going to Starbucks sometimes and spending $6, $7, $8. And many of us are going there twice a day, and we're not funding our retirement accounts. So I went through and I did the math. I'm like, look, let's just check this out. $10 a day, $300 per month, $3,600 per year. It's running at 8%, $669,967. She goes, well, that's not $1 million. And this is what I hear back from people. I'm like, it's still a lot of money. She was with her boyfriend. They were engaged. I'm like, look, if you and your husband do this, it's $1,339,000. You're in your 20s. Do it for 35 years at 60. It's $2,014,000 at 8%. It's a lot of money. Now, I started teaching this over and over again. I still haven't stopped. Only now people get mad about it sometimes. I had a guy come up to me. He's like, that latte factor thing is ridiculous. The only thing I have going for me in my entire pathetic life are my lattes. You want to take that away? I'm like, it's not about the coffee. It's a metaphor. You can keep drinking coffee all you want. I just want you to think through where the money's going so you can redirect some to savings. How many of you remember where water used to come from? When I started teaching in 1994, I would sit on stage and I would say, this is a $1 billion a year industry. Now it's 10 billion. And the bulk of the water that we drink, and I didn't pay for this, I got this one for free, but the bulk of this bottle of water is just tap water that's been put into a bottle. So you just have to know whatever, bottled water, cigarettes, cell phones, all these things add up. And at the end of the day, it's up to us to fight for our money and keep it. Because it's not about the money, it's back to the values. People go, I don't want to give anything up. You're not giving anything up. You're deciding what you really want. That's the key. Step number 6, I'm going to go through 3 critical things that you need to do to protect your family and yourself. Number 1, you need a security basket. You need a money airbag. You need to have a security account. That account should have at minimum 6 months, ideally a year of expenses set aside. Where are you going to get that money? How are you going to build it up? Every time you get a paycheck, something's going to come right off the top and go into an emergency account. That emergency account should be an account that does not have checking, does not have an ATM card, and it is used for emergencies. The next iPad is not an emergency. Okay. When they make an iPhone that is this much bigger, it's not an emergency. Emergencies are for emergencies. You need to have a will or living trust set up. All right. In this room right now, if I divide this room like this, 50% of this room statistically does not have a will. It's actually 60% of Americans don't have a will right now. And then the rest of people go, well, that's cool. I got one. except that most of our wills are out of date because our wills get done when we have kids, when we get married and when we have kids. And if your will is 5 to 10 years old, it is out of date. So you need to get your will updated. You can do these wills yourself using a program like Willmaker, but I think you should use an attorney, but you should have a will. If you don't have a will right now or it's out of date, that should be a goal of yours in the first 90 days of 2013. You're not going to leave here and go do a will during Christmas time. But you should do one as a New Year's resolution. Make sense? If you have a will, you need to let your family know where that will is. Because people do wills and then they hide them. And then they die and nobody knows there's even a will. I was teaching one of my first seminars and my dad came to it. And I'm like, you got to tell people where the will is. And my dad goes, you know, your mom and I have a will, right? I'm like, of course you do, Dad. I would expect nothing less. He goes, well, do you know where it is? I go, no, where is it? He goes, it's in the safe. I go, Dad, you have a safe? He goes, yeah, it's behind a piece of artwork. I go, you have safe behind artwork? He goes, yeah, there's a button you press. I go, what? He goes, it's a good point. Tell people that they need to know where the will is. You gotta have insurance. Okay, I'm gonna give you one bit of advice here that can change your whole life. For $500 to $1,000, you can take out an insurance policy on your husband. You can go out and get a term policy, term insurance, not an investment policy, term insurance, because term insurance has never been cheaper. So you go out and spend $500 a year on a term policy, and depending on your husband's health or his age, you'll pick up an extra $250,000, $500,000, spend a little more, you can get $1 million of term insurance for nothing. All the money you will spend on Christmas presents this year that nobody will remember within 90 days, you could have a term insurance policy that will protect you for the rest of your life on your husband. Okay, last thing here, step 7, your dream basket. Your dreams matter. Your dreams matter. And the way you make your dreams real is this. You buy them. You set up an investment account for your dreams. So I recommend, instead of just saving, you think through, what do you want to do in the short term? 2 years, 2 to 5 years, 3 to 10 years, what's a dream that gets you excited? And you open up an investment account, preferably probably a mutual fund, and you put it into an investment automatically every time you get paid just for that dream. Why is this so powerful? My clients, when they would come to my office, their accounts literally were named after what their dream was. So it might be an account to redo the kitchen. So when they came into the office, we weren't talking about their bond fund. We're talking about their kitchen. How's the kitchen account going? I want to go to Hawaii. How's the Hawaii account going? How is the account going for retirement, for the second home? That's the dream account. All right, I am so sorry that we're out of time. Has this been fun?
David Bach is a 12-time national best-selling author and founder of Finish Rich Media. To learn more, please visit davidbach.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you found this session helpful, and we invite you to tune in for more best breakouts from the Conferences for Women.